Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
But before we begin, let me remind you that the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage, the host, or our advertisers. Also, tonight's segment of Center Stage is being brought to you by African American News and Commentary Blog, your single source for news, events, and commentary that is of unique interest to African Americans. They're located on the web at www.AfricanAmericanNewsAndCommentary.com. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, let me introduce my guests. They're riding shotgun tonight because I'm sure they have a lot to bring to the discussion. So my guest tonight, my first guest, simply goes by the name Black Man. And my second guest is Ms. Selma Tormina. She's founder of the 912 Group out of Houston, Texas. I'd like to say to both of them this evening, good evening, y'all. How you doing?
Good evening.
Selma, are you with me? Oh, my goodness. I'm opening up the wrong phone line. She's supposed to be with us tonight, but I guess we're picking up the phone line. If she's with us, she's going to need to press 1 because I don't see her number on the board. I thought I recognized it, but I did not. Obviously, she's going to have to press 1 or I don't recognize the number. Well, Black Man, how are you doing?
Oh, right now battling a cold.
Oh, no. We got so much to talk about. Listen, you take some mints or something because we got a lot to get to tonight. You know, 2011, I must say, was a very interesting year. There was a lot that went on, a lot of changes in our country, a lot of changes in the world, some of the things shocking, some of the things not so shocking. So let's begin with the fact that the S&P lowered the U.S. credit rating basically at the 11th hour, and I couldn't understand, first of all, why it went there. Why did they wait to the 11th hour to raise the debt ceiling? What do you think was going on with that? Is it just like they're playing games with the people and trying to get us all worked up in the fear? What do you think is happening, really?
Probably trying to hide the fact that the economy is going under or has already gone under.
Mm.
So the best way to mask is to continue to keep the status quo going. In other words, make it seem one way when actually it's something else. So
do you really think the Democrats and Republicans behind the scene couldn't have worked this out before the 11th hour? I think some of this is a fear factor, because if they keep us worked up about, you know, if we don't work this out, we're going to cut this and we're going to cut that, and so therefore you're going to lose your benefits, you know, if you're a person who's on Social Security or if you're a person in the military with your pay. You know, I cannot believe that it takes it down to the wire each time for them to work these things out. I'm just really concerned that it's kind of like when we were under our last administration, every other day, you live here in Texas and I live here in Texas, you know, we'd be driving down the highway and we'd see it was code red, code yellow, code orange for whether or not we had terror alerts that were high or low. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. I do.
So it doesn't seem like more of that to you?
Of course.
And I don't get why they're, you know, I think, like I said, I think it's the fear factor, which is not very nice for our government to be doing to their people, but I think it's got to be some of that, because I'm not really understanding why every time it seems to go to the 11th hour. Okay,
well,
moving on. You know,
okay.
Also another thing that happened this year that I was very shocked by is that NASA launched its final space shuttle mission and retired the shuttle fleet. Why now?
It's a good question.
You know, I was wondering, were they taking those shuttles up to spy on the American people anyway? What do you think?
No, I believe they were trying to build a space station so that when, I guess, the Earth finally does collapse completely, they have somewhere else to go.
Really?
Almost like, you know, those secret places they have in those mountains, like those secret civilizations that they don't tell people about.
Well, how are you going to go? Again, if Selma Tormina is on the line, she needs to press 1 because I'm not recognizing the number on the board. But I think what I, you know, first of all, how are you going to live on space, though, black man? You can't just go up there and just start existing because there's not the conveniences that we have here. So how can they just escape Earth and go to, you know, I mean, to space?
In their minds, that's how they see it.
Wow. I did not expect that answer. I don't know. I think the timing is suspicious in which they're deciding to cancel it. I don't know if it's because of cost. I don't know. But I know cost has to be a factor. But I don't know. That one just caught me by surprise. I was like, we've been going up there for so many years, and all of a sudden now it's over. So I just wasn't sure if it was a little bit more to that than what they were telling us. But I think we'll all see in the very near future. But that would just surprise me that, you know, no longer will astronauts be going up to space and, you know, bringing back all this data and information, you know, about things that we didn't know. But one thing I found interesting, as many missions as they made up there, they never came back and said that they were aliens up there, did they?
They won't say that because it's above top secret.
Exactly. And I question, y'all, I don't know, it's just me. I just question whether or not there's some alien life up there. I don't know because, you know, I'm going to do a story on that in 2012, but I've been hearing there's a lot of stories about there is life besides just human life. And so that was just one of the things I was curious about. Okay.
Yeah, one day I'll share a theory with you. Yeah, one day I'll share a theory with you.
No, share it now. Share it.
Well, the theory has already been stated that the Earth and the Moon were once one.
Ooh.
And that it was blown away.
Earth and
that
the Moon was once one.
Moon, the Earth is actually oblong, not circle. It's not a complete circle, just like the Moon is not really a complete circle also.
Whoa.
It's more like an optical illusion.
Okay.
So all the water that was on that side spilled over on this particular side. That's why we have more water than land mass. And the craters you see in the Moon are actually where the mountains were made, because when you blow off something, it also makes like mountains. You know, it's like a Lego puzzle. You know how there's those tops there that you fit into the other part, fasten it. Okay, it was the same way with the Earth. So remember that technology at that point on this, the way the world was at one point was very mathematical, scientific. Their science was at a very high point. Their mathematics was at a very high point. Those people were blasted off. Well, when the Moon and the Earth separated, those people were on that side. But they had already been building and constructing different things. So in order for them to survive, they had to gather up all the vegetation. They had to gather up everything to survive the best way they knew how. So they were able to construct crafts to survive on.
Hmm.
So thus, there's where you so-called have aliens. They're always trying to tell you the aliens look this way, that way. Would you be surprised if you actually found out that the aliens actually look like you?
You know, I've heard people say that they may be walking amongst us even sometimes, and I thought, really?
Well, because that's a scientific. I'm talking something that's more realistic. Would you be surprised if black folks came out of a ship? When aliens, they were actually black folks.
I have to say,
folks.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of, sorry, yeah, I would.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all I'm saying. That's all I'm just saying.
Well, I mean, you asked me a question, I'm just being honest. I would be surprised. Because, you know, it's kind of like if you condition your mind to think one way, to change that thinking, you know.
Yes, I know.
What? Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. Wait. You know what? When we do the show on aliens, I'll do a little bit more research and I'll be a little bit more ready for your question next time. But right now, the answer would be yes. I would be surprised if black folks came out of what did you call them? Space shuttles or?
Some call it the wheel. Sometimes people say the Ezekiel's wheel.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I never heard that. Okay. Well, we will pick that up on a later show. Also, we're going to move on to talk about Michael Jackson's doctor, Conrad Murray. He was found guilty of involuntary manslaughter and sentenced to 4 years in prison. Do you think that was fair or unjust, or what do you think?
I think it was unjust because he didn't kill him.
Well, who killed him?
It was some other folks.
Oh, so you think it was a hit?
Yes. I think Comrade Murray was the fall guy. I honestly believe that.
Okay, well, okay. The thing is, when you're a fall guy, okay, he was the one that was, you know, sitting vigil over Michael as Michael slept. So in between the hit and Conrad Murray had to be somewhere involved in the hit, though, did he not? I mean,
probably,
you know, he
was
the one in the room. So, you know, I don't know. Wouldn't he have had to have been involved with the hit, let's just say that?
Of course he could have.
Wow.
He could have been involved with it in some way or fashion, but I don't believe he's the one that actually killed Mike.
Okay. You know, the thing is, Mike was in a mansion with bodyguards, Conrad Murray, and his children. So did someone else slip into the house and kill him? I mean, how would that have happened?
Well, first of all, you have to understand you're getting a story of who they say was in the house at that time. No one really knows the full, complete story, but the individuals that were there. Conrad Murray was not the only person in that house.
Okay, Glenn Beasley.
Remember that trial? That trial had so many disparities, and I mean, just they had so many different versions of a story that not one story actually made sense. It was
okay,
Glenn
Beasley. You seem to have a lot
show.
Of comments about this. You need to call in. And he says he got off with murder. He provided him with the drugs, and he pulled the trigger. That's what Glenn Beasley says. So, Glenn Beasley, you need to call in and tell us what you know
so
about
they
that.
Say.
Those aren't his biological children, is what Green Beasley's saying. You know, the thing is, I don't believe Conrad Murray's version of what happened. I don't believe that he just left the room for a minute. That is a stretch, I think. I think he was probably in the bathroom longer than he said he was. How much more negligent he is than that, I've never been able to decide, you know, if it was an actual hit. Because, you know, some people are saying that Michael Jackson owned the masters to the Beatles music, which, you know, in this country could be, you know, very dangerous for a black man to own, let's just say that. So a lot of people
and some of the Beatles stuff and some of Elvis' stuff, too.
Oh,
and some of the Elvis' publishing.
Oh, okay. So you think maybe that has something to do with it? That's why they put the hit on him?
I mean, well, some people are saying that they put the hit on him because of the Beatles, because of that album, because he sold off part of it, but he still owned enough to make millions and millions of dollars off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Michael wasn't broke. Don't believe that. Don't let them tell you that lie.
And they did say that, didn't they? But, you know, there were rumors out there that Michael was broke, but this guy was renting a mansion at how much a month? A lot of money. I think it was like $10,000 or something a month or something like that.
Right.
Some incredible.
But remember, his last album did 8 million copies.
But whoever did it, was he worth more dead than alive?
I think he was worth more alive, I thought. But,
well,
you know, when somebody dies, you know, everything fills up.
Mm-hmm. And then everybody wants to become a collector of your stuff once you're dead. It's kind of like an artist or, you know, a painter. You know, they become, you know, their art becomes very valuable
right.
after they die.
You know there's people out there that still believe he's alive, right?
No, I hadn't heard them. I've heard Elvis is still
alive. Oh, boy.
No, they believe Michael's alive.
Yeah, I have to send you some of the shows where they talk about it. So,
you know, I wouldn't put it past Michael, because I think Michael was tired of this whole living in a bubble thing. So that wouldn't surprise me if, you know, 5 years from now, you know, they said, oh, here's Michael Jackson. I wouldn't be surprised. But that's the first time I've heard that. But I must say I would not be totally surprised, because he really was someone who appeared to be unhappy, if you will. And so that seems believable for some reason. You know, but I don't know. They said the same thing about Elvis, and I was on that kick for a long time, too, believing in Elvis. You know, I grew up in Memphis. I mean, seriously. And I was living in Memphis at the time that Elvis died, and I won't tell y'all, listen. I mean, there was a whole lot of speculation that Elvis was still here. And you know, after a while, you know, you just realized, okay, maybe he ain't coming back. But, you know, people can say it and put it in your mind, so you do wonder. But now, you know, of course, that's long gone. But back then I did wonder. So now you're going to make me wonder about Michael Jackson. But, you know, the thing about one last thing about Conrad Murray. Conrad Murray, they said, was in the bathroom talking to his girlfriend. If somebody is paying you, how much was it he was supposed to be making a month? Was it $10,000 a month or some crazy number like that?
Something like that.
Yeah, so some crazy number. If somebody was paying me $10,000 a month to watch them sleep, I'll be honest with you, I think I'd have peed in my pants before I left them there alone. So I don't understand, you know, what was he thinking if he did actually leave the room and did actually, you know, go into the bathroom and was talking to some girlfriend on the phone. That was some negligence there. So I don't know. I'm just saying Conrad Murray is crazy because he lost a good job, a very good band job, and now he's in prison for 4 years for doing something really stupid. But if it was a hit, then, of course, all that goes out the window, you know. But I'm just saying. So I don't know. I you know, may Michael rest in peace because, you know, while he was here, he never really seemed happy. You know, he enjoyed fame, you know, beyond most people's wildest dreams, but yet he never seemed happy. So, you know, so Michael Jackson, rest in peace. Okay, moving on. Let's talk about, let's go pick up the phone lines. I think our second guest has arrived. Good evening.
What's going on?
Good evening.
Hey, that's Chris right here. It's Chris Stevenson.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
I'm very good.
Yeah, Michael Jackson was paying Conrad Murray $160,000 a month.
Oh, that's right. I thought $10,000 seemed low. That's right, $106,000.
Wow. Oh yeah, he's getting paid.
Okay.
He should have been Michael Jackson's shadow.
Okay. So he should have been wearing rather than leaving Michael Jackson alone. Okay, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money if you're getting paid yearly.
Yeah.
Much more so monthly.
That's more than some people get paid in several years. So then,
mm-hmm.
Do you believe it was a hit, or do you believe Conrad Murray really did just go to the bathroom?
No, it's a hit. It's a hit.
Really?
You know, I wrote an article about that. You know, they don't kill us anymore. Outright, you know, it's not through lynching or, shootings anymore, unless black people are shooting. You see what I'm saying? But it's not that obvious with the powers that be anymore. Okay, they wanted Michael out the way on so many levels. Michael was a genius, you know, and Michael had what few musicians had. You know, there are some of the top musicians of all time. You notice those who have that knowledge. When I say knowledge, I'm talking about knew how to get their rights. Who knew how to get their
masters and things like that. He knew
the master tapes. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about.
Mm-hmm.
People like Ray Charles, Ronald Isley,
mm-hmm.
you know, George Clinton. Okay, you find these people as top blacks at this upper echelon. They tell you, yeah, do well, but don't do too well.
Oh.
Michael just did too well. Okay, Michael, here go Michael hanging out with Paul McCartney and John Lennon and them guys, and they're thinking, oh, he's just a, you know, he's just like a little brother to us. No, Michael was soaking up knowledge from these guys.
Really?
And Paul McCartney said, look here, Mike, you can make money without even having to perform. Do what we do, write for other people, things like this. What did Michael do? Michael buys out the Beatles. Okay. So then along with that comes Elvis. He buys that Elvis. Marries Elvis's daughter.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Michael knew too much. That's why he's dead. Okay.
He was low key at the time of his death. You really didn't even hear anything about Michael. I mean, you know, we know he had the trials involving, you know, the accusations that he had been, you know, inappropriate with some young boys. But past that, you know, we hadn't even heard anything really from Michael in the last couple of years prior to his death.
And believe me, Michael didn't do nothing to those little boys. Michael did with those little boys was just naivete, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't any proof that he penetrated those boys. You just saw that. You just saw the pictures all on TV, because that's what they were doing. They were when they first investigated Michael. After one of those two investigations, I think maybe 93 or something like that, they would have you would have saw it. What they did, they just got a couple of boys to say, "Oh, he did this," you know.
So that may have been the first hit. It didn't work. So then this last thing may have been the final hit.
Right. Yeah. The final hit was the real. You know, they tried twice over to get him for child molestation. He didn't molest anybody.
Right.
So you know what I'm saying? You're a molested kid. You know somebody molested you. Okay. that's it. You know, that last kid was pressured by his father to say something. You know, there are signs of molestation.
And
okay?
One of those fathers, I remember, who said their son had been molested by Michael, didn't he commit suicide or something later?
Yep.
I don't know. I hope so. But
I think I read that. I think he did. He committed suicide, which, you know, you don't know if it was the pressure from having lied about that or if it was something
mm-hmm.
else, but I think he did later commit suicide. Which is interesting, you know,
that's
to add to the story. But I too question, you know, as the trial went on, you know, people, you know, taking payoffs and settlements and things like that. If your child had actually been molested, there should be no dollar value that you would accept for that, you know. So wonder, you know.
Well, we'll be covering that in the show, won't we?
We'll
covering some more of those. Well, I say we'll be covering some more of those cases in the show, won't we?
Oh, we will. Oh, we definitely will. Chris Stevenson, stick around. I mean, because you know what? Chris writes for the Buffalo Bullet, child, so he knows a lot about some of the stories we're going to be talking about tonight.
And black commentator.
Yes, he is. We're going to move on to the death of North Korean leader Kim Jong-il. Now, that was suspicious. We knew he had been ill for a while. But is his son, the young Kim Jong-il, who they're saying is going to be his successor, is he ready for that job? Or is he just a little too young for, you know, to be running, you know, a place like North Korea?
He probably was already groomed to run it.
He's 28.
Yeah.
They said, well, you know, his age is kind of like question. You know, nobody really seems to know exactly how old he is. But they're saying about 28. That's kind of young.
That's young.
28, let alone a leader, 28.
Yeah. You know, would Prince William be fit to run England?
No.
I don't think so. No. 28 is 28 in actuality, okay?
Okay.
You know, unless you are truly a genius and exceptional. And yeah, he was trained to run that, you know.
Yeah.
28 years old either go in one or two extremes. They either become very idealistic and they try to set up a fair government, or they might become even worse, autocratic and narcissist than the previous, than the old guy.
North Korea is a strange place because it seems like a lot of what comes out of there from, you know, what the reporting our country is doing on it, it seems a lot of propaganda. Nothing really seems to be anything concrete. You know, they were showing some of the things that, you know, they say the previous leader, Kim Jong-il, had done, and they were saying everything from create the hamburger to, you know, he did this and he did stuff that you know he didn't do. But
Right. Obviously
he was going and claiming all these things. So is that place just a strange place? You know, I don't know. But I've just never heard of...
Well, I mean, we have to be real careful when we start getting information from the American press. You know, the American press is not accurate in a lot of things they say about people overseas. They make up a lot of stuff about people overseas to demonify them.
That's true.
To make them look crazy. To make them look like they're just the craziest people and the nuttiest people on the planet.
That's true.
So when they start sitting up here throwing stones, talking about, well, this leader is this and this leader is that, please, all the time that they're saying these things is accurate.
That's true.
They're either a communist country or a rogue country. You know,
let me ask you this. Does North Korea have anything that we want that may cause us to invade them at some point?
No,
because they got a nuclear weapon. South Korea got a nuclear weapon.
They got the Hyperdong missile that they've been trying to.
Right. The United States doesn't want to fool with them.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the last time they did that, and I'm trying to think who was in office. I think Bush was in office. And they were talking about they were calling in the Axis of Evil. They were calling one of the Axis of Evil.
Yep.
They started talking all that mess, and they were like, okay, fine. If you come over anywhere near us, we will consider an act of war, and we'll start bombing California, and they start naming places.
They don't draw a line right here, and if you come across it.
Right.
Sure.
And they meant business.
You
don't mess with somebody who's got a gun, even if they don't know how to handle it.
Right.
Okay, a gun is a gun.
But you know what? The thing is, most times if you're going to get a person or get anything, you get them in that transition period because they aren't quite ready and they haven't actually got their footing yet. Wouldn't this be the best time to invade North Korea, with the young guy being in place and, you know, not quite having his footing, you know, his father recently dying? Wouldn't that be the best time to go in on them?
It would be the best way if they use the CIA. And they use them to put people but they put certain people in the cabinet that can do what the United States or Israel or Europe wants. Then yeah, they can kind of mold them the way they want to. Now, if that did not happen yet, no, then the advisors of the old dictator is sitting in that position. They're going to make sure that he's going to be able to run things the way they want him and not the way
right.
the United States or Israel does it. It's going to happen one of two ways.
Okay. You know, I hope y'all right, because if they got nuclear weapons, I'm not ready. You know, some people are talking about World War III. I don't want World War III to be between the U.S. and North Korea.
Well, the U.S. is not going to be against them.
They got a very tough army, too.
It's like 100,000 men or something like that? Is it deep like
maybe
that, like their military?
It probably could be, but the United States is not trying to go to war with South Korea. You don't have to really worry about South Korea. Worry about what Israel's trying to do.
Okay. Don't worry about Israel. Okay. You know what? You may be right. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to scratch that one off and pray that you're right. And I didn't have this on my list, but I do want to talk about this now that we brought it up. Speaking of Israel, and I'm going to segue into Iran talking about Israel. There's some interesting talk going on about Iran right now. Is it a possibility we might invade Iran?
Yes.
Ooh.
Damn good possibly.
Ooh.
Yes.
I don't know, out of Iraq. We've been saying that. I don't think so. I really don't think so. It's a possibility, but I don't think we'll do it. At least not
really?
Anytime.
Why not?
Well, they're sending drones. They're already sending drones into Iran.
This is true.
They already got the CIA working in Iran.
Drones just means you're testing them, you know, to see if they're game. We just left two 9-year wars.
Yeah.
You know, and we lost a lot of people. Morale is down in this country. Morale is down in the military.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
we lost thousands of people based on a lie.
Oh.
Okay. Especially in Iraq, especially in the case of Iraq, you know. So I don't think they're too anxious to really mix it up with Iran at this point. Maybe in 5 years, I don't think Obama is going to be looking forward to doing that. You know,
the leader Ahmadinejad. He doesn't look like he's scary to me. I mean,
no. But what Obama did with mm-hmm. Ahmadinejad is he knocked off his computer system,
Ooh.
And that set his nuclear program back like a couple of years ago. And that he did it. A lot of people don't talk about this. Obama very slick. Okay, when he did that, that pretty much made it. So you know, really, Iran is not too. You know, they're not going to be too anxious to do anything to the U.S. Anyway, you know. So.
But if the United States tries to invade Iran on foot,
mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, those Iranians are no joke.
That is
not to fool with.
Anytime you go in somebody's home field, if they're not going to be easy, you gotta be prepared to stay a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're gonna give you a fight. They're gonna give you a fight. Also,
yeah.
Israel, the government of Israel, some men in the cabinet, I think of the radical party, stating that they wanna bomb Iran. They make it clear we gonna bomb them if y'all don't get this stuff straight soon and very soon. We gonna go bomb them. They don't give a care if the United States or the European Union is going to say yes or no or not. Israel is already ready to go bomb Iran.
Okay, yeah, we're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to pick up Kavina Man tonight. I see he's on the phone line. Good evening, Mr. Kavina Man. How are you?
Hey, how is everybody doing?
Good.
Fine. How are you, sir?
I don't know how you got your phone and your name to show up on the board instead of numbers, but okay. How you doing? What's
I on your mind like tonight? I want to just say, like, I don't think that North Korea is going to do anything, you know, because I think all white folks need is an excuse to drop another nuclear bomb. They've been itching for years to nuke somebody, and all they need is an excuse. They have to hope that young dude would just reach out, even make a move towards a button, and then kaboom. You know, they just waiting on the reason to pop him up. So, but I think a lot of these dictators around the world just serves as a boogeyman target, because they gotta have somebody to hate, and they gotta have somebody who looks the part. So the Ahmed Dinajad, or somebody, get somebody in a turban, somebody dark, somebody mysterious looking, or somebody with some crazy eyes, somebody that's not white. You know, white folks are the biggest thing terrorists in this earth, but get somebody that's not white that looks or acts crazy, and they'd be targeted like a target.
Really.
Yeah. Well, you know, the last president to kill masses of white people was Clinton. He did that with the Bosnians and people like that, you know, white Muslims. In between that and Hitler, there was nothing. In between then and now, it was nothing. You know, they're looking for people of color, like the guy said, you know, and, you know, that's a statement. Okay, you know.
Yeah, you know how Dick Cheney was just looking for a way to do shock and awe on somebody, and they don't mind, you know, when they kill somebody non-white, it's called collateral damage. But if you kill one white person, it's called terrorism. You know, they're just looking for a reason to just collateral damage somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Because they got how many they spend billions of dollars on nuclear wars arms every year. You know, they sooner or later they got to use it.
Yeah,
and it's a good time to practice. With a North Korea or Iran, you know, Israel, they got these stockpiles of nuclear weapons, and they just itching to use it too.
Yep. Now here's the funny. Here's the dilemma right here also. Obama replaced all the nuclear warheads on the submarines with Tomahawk missiles. Okay. So Obama's not looking to do anything during his term. You can basically give him the second term anyway, you know. But he's not looking to nuke anybody. But the Republicans badly want to get in there so they can smoke somebody, okay? They want to incinerate someone. That's their modus operandi. That's what they do, you know? So,
right.
You know, what happens in the upcoming election, presidential election 2012, is going to have a lot of bearing on who we're going to be up against the next 4 years. And if Romney... or somebody wins. Romney's the most stable-minded of all of them, really. You know, there could be some escalation somewhere. You know,
if Newt
gets in, it could be a civil war against gay people or something. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be something crazy. Okay. You know, any of those crazy people get in there, it's going to be something crazy. But it's going to be, regardless of who wins, or if what Republican wins, if they win, the troops might as well start packing up and loading their guns and everything, because they're going to go back overseas.
Well, you know what? Speaking of that, another thing that was not on my list, the 2012 GOP candidates. Let's talk about that just briefly. Is that the biggest clown race that you have ever seen in your life?
Yes.
It's just the weirdest race. It's up and down. There's peaks and valleys. You know, there's all kind of scandals. I mean, people are, you know, their campaign, what do you call it? Their people that are working for them, their campaign workers, you know, jumping ship and going to other people's campaigns. What is going on with this group of people? I mean, could they have picked the worst group of people to run for the Republican ticket for the 2012 presidential campaign?
Well, see, look.
Well, they got to make the show. I mean, they got to make it a show. This is a drama. This is like watching TNT. You know, I believe it's always a setup. So,
you know, I don't know. I mean, we're talking about, you know, Kane. I'm sure he wouldn't have chosen for affairs to come out and sexual harassment suits to you know, to come out. I'm sure he didn't just get in it for that to be exposed. So I'm not sure.
Well, yeah. But however, he was very arrogant. He thought that, you know, I'm going to ride this wave into the promised land because, see, I can beat Obama. See, he thought he was part of that. What's that saying? He was included. Yeah, he thought he was included. He thought he was included to this game.
But you know what? A lot of people say, you know, Kane being in the race, he just jumped in there to run against Obama. But this is how I feel about it. There's nothing wrong with two black men running against each other. So I think as black people are wrong to say that. I mean, you know, if another black person in this country is qualified to run for president, I don't see there's anything wrong with that person running against Barack Obama. So I have a problem with black people saying. But as far as Kane was concerned, I actually thought when he was in the race before the scandals and all that broke about him, I felt like he was the most qualified.
Yeah, so did I. An all-black general election would have been very interesting, but it would have been too much for the GOP to swallow.
In order
for them to beat Obama, they got to have white male beat them.
Oh.
Plain and simple. Okay, they're not going to admit it, but you know that Tea Party and everything, all that's born out of, I don't like this black president. You know, I hate this black president.
Did the Tea Party come up after? Did the Tea Party come up after Obama got in office, or was the Tea Party before Obama got in
after,
office?
From my understanding.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to area code 314-381. Good evening. You're on center stage.
How you doing tonight?
Well, how you doing?
Well, I take exception with you saying that all Republican candidates clowns.
Okay, you know what? I'm saying the race itself just looks like a big old, like, free fall. I mean, it's like so many peaks and valleys that the issues are kind of getting all, like, mixed up with, like, the rumor mill and, you know, who has how many affairs and, you know, who had a sexual scandal on them. You know, all these sorts of things keep coming out, and so you cannot get to the issues as to whether or not these guys are going to be great presidents if, in fact, one of them wins.
Well, see, Ron Paul's
been talking about the issues ever since day one, and even before that.
Now, Ron Paul scares me. I don't know about anybody else, but Ron Paul kind of scares me a little bit. Because, first of all, you know, there's pictures of him out there with, like, you know, the former leader of the Ku Klux Klan and white supremacist people. You know, and I know, you know, as a president, you got to be the president to all people, but I don't want them to be your running buddy.
Well, Justice Warren was a former Ku Klux Klan member.
And?
Supreme Court Justice. He was one of the best voting justices for the rights of black people from early 1950s on until he finally left out of the Warren Court.
Well, see, the thing, Warren,
even tried to impeach him.
Warren admitted his prejudice, his racism, and made an effort to turn around. Okay, that's the thing. And I've met white people like that, okay? You know, it's different with Ron Paul, who's trying to be a closet racist. Stuff is coming out
I don't think Ron Paul was trying to be a closet. I agree with many of the issues that the Ku Klux Klan put forth. And I'm not one of them. So I think and a lot of the things that they accused Ron Paul of saying or doing, you can listen to the debates and speeches that he was in, and it's just not true. And here's another point. What's the difference? I mean, we talk about somebody as a closet racist. Look at the things that, for instance, look at the Democrats. There was no black first before 1964. They all came through Republicans. If it hadn't been for Richard Nixon, you wouldn't have no affirmative action because Richard Nixon threatened Richard Daley when they was trying to kill Arthur Fletcher, who took the Philadelphia plan and architected it into the present affirmative action that we had. The big labor put a hit out on him, and he called Richard Daley up and said, if you hurt this man, he doesn't come to Washington, D.C., tomorrow I will have the 102nd Airborne marching down Michigan Avenue. So that was a Republican president threatening a popular Democratic mayor of Chicago.
You know what, though? Republicans had a sense of decency. One of Nixon's top advisors was black, okay? And that's the thing. Nixon did sign the affirmative action bill. That was originally put through by Johnson. You know,
but Johnson couldn't carry it through because he was messed up on the Civil. But you know, Johnson threatened Thurgood Marshall and told him he was not going to become a Supreme Court Justice.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, did he report him?
But I can't disagree with that. But see, the thing is, there was an ideological switch going on between Roosevelt and the early '60s. Where you had back then, before Roosevelt, the conservatives were the Democrats.
Mm.
now they're the Republicans. You know, you had an ideological
switch.
You know,
your first civil rights laws came through Republicans going
yeah,
back to 1865.
Exactly.
All
yeah.
the 1957 civil rights law under
yep.
Eisenhower.
Yep. You know,
you
Republicans
had,
in slavery. You know. But they were
yeah.
they were different type. People say that they don't admit that fact. You know, they were completely different mentality back then.
If it wasn't for Republicans voted overwhelmingly for the 13th Amendment. Democrats didn't. Republicans voted overwhelmingly
mm-hmm.
for the 14th Amendment, which made us citizens of the U.S. Democrats did not.
Right.
Hmm. Okay.
Yes, Peter Man still on the air?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay, yeah. I think during the Civil Rights Movement, it was Truman who desegregated the military, and so it was Southern white folks was angry at Truman, who was a Democrat, for desegregation, because they was already dealing with desegregation with Brown versus Board. And so when black folks switched and supported the desegregation movement of Truman and switched to the Democratic Party, started to switch to the Democratic Party. That's when the change actually occurred.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you just tuned in, you've come center stage tonight for the topic, the top stories of 2012. We're talking about murder trials, earthquakes, uprisings, withdrawals, occupations, and scandals involving pedophiles. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening in via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390. And, again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open tonight. So if you have a question or a comment, you can post it up in the chat room in bold, and I'll pose it to the panel before the end of the evening. However, if you do not have a Blog Talk Radio user account, you will not be able to chat in the chat room. Listen, moving on. Let's talk about the earthquake in Japan. That
tsunami.
One was scary. Nuclear crisis going on over there.
Tsunami.
Yeah. Will they recover?
Oh, yeah.
Or can
yeah.
you recover
yeah.
from something like that?
They'll recover. Hell, they recover from the nuclear bomb.
Exactly. Yep.
Really? Okay. So the debris, they say the debris is moving toward the U.S. It's in the water and is moving toward here. Should we be fearful? I don't know any of y'all. Should we be fearful? I mean, because
you can't ignore it.
If it's contaminated, should we be afraid?
I don't trust the Gulf Coast water, even though people are saying it's safe.
Listen, I gave up fish a long time ago. So, you know, should we be eating fish now?
I didn't eat none of it.
I just thought that whoever that is laughing. Listen, I'm talking about this, eating actual fish. Tell me, is the water safe to be eating fish out of?
No.
I don't think
probably
so.
Not.
For
how
all
long
the people
this, this, this,
eat,
this happened a year ago? You gonna tell
yeah.
me the water is safe?
But, I mean, people are still eating fish. People are still eating crab. People are still eating lobster as though, you know, there's, you know, no problem. Or they really, I don't think most people have given it a second thought and thought the fact that, you know, water is flowing from over there to over here. I don't think most people are taking that into consideration.
Well, hey, the news tells you every day, this is okay. This is all right.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
This is true.
You know, people in America are mostly followers. Not all, but
no.
most of us are followers.
You know,
but
I'm from Buffalo. Most of our stuff is Lake Erie. That's safe water, you know.
Really? You know, I saw a report. Oh, wow. I saw a report on TV that said something about the apples that we're eating. Some of them are coming from Japan. Why is food from Japan coming over here, knowing what happened? Why would our FDA allow that?
From what part of Japan? Now wait a minute. It wasn't all over Japan. It was a certain part of Japan. So what part of these apples are coming from Japan?
Well, you know, I'm going to put it to you like this. I'm not interested in eating any apples out of Japan. How about that? Because,
well,
I mean, the soil is contaminated, and you don't think that, and the water is contaminated around Japan. Do you think we really need apples from Japan right now? I mean, do you think our supply here?
Well, apples and stuff from that's got pesticides all on it.
Well, that's most of our food supply. That is all of our food supply. What am I saying? Yeah.
You eating a cow that's got hormones and chickens and, hey, man, I mean, pick your poison. Pick your poison.
Yep.
I don't know. Let's go back to the phone line. Area code 504. 496. Good evening. You're on center stage.
Hi, this is Taylor Michael from New Orleans. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Outstanding. Outstanding. Tell me if I was mistaken, but I heard you talking about the oil spill. Is that correct?
No, we were talking about the tsunami in Japan.
Oh, that I heard something about the Gulf waters as I logged on, and I wasn't sure if that's what you were talking about because that was made a big deal.
No. Well, talk if you want to bring that up, go ahead. Talk about it.
I just wanted to say that it really bothered me being from New Orleans. Yes, a lot of damage was done, but it was extraordinarily exaggerated. And I don't mean to say that something terrible didn't happen. I mean to say that the percentage of the chance of what happened was greatly reduced by the precautions that people would have taken. And I actually, if it wasn't for the people who were, you know, the animal lovers who said, you can't drill anywhere near here, go drill in, 5,000 feet of water, we wouldn't have had the problem that we had. And on top of that, even when an oil spill occurs, oil being a natural product of the earth and oil naturally seeping out in parts of Antarctica and having done so before, a bacteria forms and multiplies like crazy. It goes everywhere, and it eats the oil. And for everyone who's been wondering how did it become such a huge deal, it was going to ruin the coast, it was going to ruin everything, tourism, it was going to ruin the entire the ocean, basically, is what the thing was made out to be. And all of a sudden, no one talks about it anymore because it...
Well, Color, I see the commercials on TV, and I think y'all all do. They make it look like the oil spill is the best thing that ever happened to the Gulf Coast. In fact, someone told me once that those people are eating better now since the oil spill than they were before.
Wow.
One could argue that.
Mm-hmm.
And about the apples in Japan... I almost want to say I don't mean to offend you, but I would say it was ignorant to exclude Japan's imports because of a fallout. That's no more than saying in the 1800s, if a black person were to become sick, that all black people would be avoided. It's a similar kind of idea that we instill when we start to do things like that. When we say, look at that disaster, let's not help.
I like to say I disagree with you. As a person, I can choose what I want to put in my body, and I don't think I want to knowingly put something in my body that maybe could cause danger to it. So I disagree with you on that. I mean, you're entitled to your comment, but I just totally disagree with you. I mean, it's kind of like somebody saying, this over here may be contaminated, and so then you go over there and you eat at your own risk. I think that's what that's equivalent to. So I see that may be contaminated, so therefore I'm choosing not to eat. Now that's just my opinion.
Right. Well, as small as the ratio or as large, I would say, the ratio of people and square footage in Japan is. Japan is a very large place.
Mm.
And I would have to say that even the smallest stutter of an infection, of a disease, of a bit of anthrax, anything like that that spurs up, is immediately controlled, quarantined. People will die if necessary to control it. And what you almost argue is that the same people who do all of that simply say, no, let's send the apple there. You know, well, hopefully it's good, and hopefully no one gets hurt. And that's just not the way.
Well, if I were to listen and believe what you just said about the Gulf Coast, I would think everybody needs to leave fish alone, because especially anything coming out the Gulf, because the water is bad and it's potentially going to kill you. Just based
right,
on what
I
you said
that,
when you came on the phone line tonight.
Right, and that would be a false assumption to make, that we should avoid the fish because a disaster has happened when people have declared as of today, as of quite a while, that it's safe to eat now. It's not this. Like I said, the nature has a way of taking care of its own self. Water and oil are two things that are born from the earth that have mixed before, and it has a way of dealing with that. And we always freak out whenever we see something that we don't expect and think that we've destroyed something vast as if we had the capability to even do it. So
the problem with that caller, though, is in a lot of cases, by the time we find out that something was harmful, most of the time, a lot of people have had to die in order for the case to be made. So, again, I respectfully disagree with you. But thank you for calling in anyway.
No problem.
Okay. Listen, y'all, we're going to move on. We're going to talk about the Arab Spring. You know, that began in December of 2010. I call it the Middle East Uprising. Was that set off by provocateurs?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just find it hard to believe that, you know, we call them dictators over here. These are, let's just say, dictators who've been in power 30, 40 years, and they're starting to fall off like dominoes. Something's wrong somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, these were countries who were afraid, you know, to speak out, you know, against our government, you know, for, you know, decades and decades, and now all of a sudden they're no longer, well, no longer than decades, I mean centuries. So what changed?
Well, nothing has changed. If you look at I think that Egypt, for instance, Egypt has turned into it's controlled by the military. Mubarak, who was a friend of the U.S., of the West, kept peace between Egypt and Israel. You look at what's going on in Libya now, the perks and the well-being that the Libyan people experience under Gaddafi. I doubt very seriously if they would continue that. And the provision of government that's there in Egypt, those leaders, they was one time al-Qaeda fighters fighting in Iran against U.S. troops.
But, I mean, you know, it's kind of like if for me to come to your house and immediately tell you, you know, I just don't think the way y'all running this is right, and I think y'all ought to change this and change that. First of all, the way I run my house may not be the way that you run your house. So is it right for us to think that we know what's best for the Arab world?
Yeah.
We've been doing it for so long, though.
Yep.
The United States has always been interfering in everybody else's country, trying to tell them what they should have is democracy, when it shows that really democracy is not treating everyone fairly, and it doesn't give everybody a fair distribution of funds, distribution of wealth that is confiscated by those who have control over these other countries.
But have we been given their people like ammunition to fight against the government?
Yeah, that's fight against the government is one, but that's for what? There's the question is, for what? According to the book of Confessions of Economic Hitman, he was stating that a man who used to work for a CIA op was saying that the reason why they do this is to have control over the resources and the people in that particular region. It's mostly over control of resources. This is why you see us going into Libya, one of the reasons. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So if we help them overthrow their government, and then we help, say, like the Muslim Brotherhood, who I understand is who's going to be controlling the Arab world now, are we just really trying to put in place people that we can treat like puppets? Is that what we're doing?
Of course.
Yeah.
We've been doing it for years.
See, here's the thing, especially in the case of Africa. You see it like, you know, you guys mentioned Egypt. That's Northern Africa. This whole process began back in the day, like I said before, they used to just kill people. And when they killed Lumumba, they shot him, then they stuck him in a vat of acid. Mm. These are the same people. Then you had Nkrumah. They said, okay, we're taking PR hits by assassinating the other people's leaders. So we're going to have his own people discredit him. We'll have our own saboteurs go into that into those countries, whether Ghana or whatever, and say this guy's not really for the people, and then you can always find doubters anywhere. And before you know it, you got a movement. You got an Occupy movement. And that's what happened. In 1966, that's what happened to Nkrumah. What happened to Nkrumah was a pretext to what happened to Mubarak as well as Gaddafi in the beginning. Okay? They get the fire going, and they sit back and watch it, and they watch it burn. Okay? And it's all about, number one, especially in the case of Africa, no black African leader has a right, in their opinion, to control their own land and their own resources. Okay? The United States feels that the West has always felt whatever grows out of Africa belongs to us. Screw whoever lives there, okay? They have no say-so. So these guys, you had Lumumba and Nkrumah, they were saying, okay, we're not only going to control our stuff, we're going to get rid of these colonialists, and we're going to start a United States of Africa, okay? The United States says, oh, no, no, no. No, you don't.
He was talking about changing the currency, too. Gaddafi, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, yeah. Gaddafi had a lot of idea. Gaddafi was going to continue on with the United States of Africa, okay? Gaddafi had a lot of innovative plans, all right?
Such as launching a satellite.
Did he?
That's what was said.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are the people of the Arab world better off before this Arab Spring, or are they worse off? I mean, because all these governments, or all these nations, or whatever you want to call them now, they're in chaos. I mean, without any, I mean, you know, as bad
yeah,
as...
Well, yeah, they were always better off beforehand. Look at this way. You have, let's like in Iraq, you may not like Saddam Hussein, but they were pretty orderly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Now the United States goes in and they go into the pretext, we're there to bring peace.
Mm-hmm.
Every time the United States says something like that, at the end of it, it's the place is in flames. All
and
right?
Another thing, Obama just sold Iraq $11 billion worth of arms. You know, and that's what this basically is about. It's about kicking down the doors to get into these Mideastern countries' markets to encircle China, trying to keep China from expanding. And on the monetary system, you see the same thing going on with the monetary system that you've seen during World War One, World War Two with Germany. It's practically the same thing. They're using the same type of methods in order to insert capital into the quantitative easing, as you would call it, into the system. Bailing out banks in America, the owners of those banks are the same owners of the banks that they're bailing out in Europe. So it's nothing more than you got an elite group of people in this world that's benefiting from these wars, these corporate wars, and so on and so on and so on.
For the host, I would say get a book called None Dare Call It a Conspiracy by Gary Allen, and he'll help explain a little bit more as to what we're saying and as far as why they're doing some of the things they're doing around, some of the things they're doing around the world.
Oh, I totally understand, trust me.
Okay.
I'm just narrating tonight, trust me, I understand. Let's talk about the capture and murder of Gaddafi. You know, when Farrakhan spoke out against that, was he right or wrong?
Well, he was right.
Really?
He was right.
Really?
You know, the funny thing, I didn't agree with him at the time because I Farrakhan had his motives also, in my opinion. You know, him and Gaddafi had a close relationship, and Gaddafi was trying to get Farrakhan $1 billion, which the United States had stopped him a couple of times.
Oh.
Okay. I didn't go along with when Farrakhan said that Gaddafi was a black man. I didn't agree with that. He, you know.
Well, I mean.
But in most ways, yeah, he was right. There's no getting around it.
Really? So you don't think, being an American citizen, he should have spoken out against the president like he did?
Well, now calling the president an assassin and this and that, he's not the black president. Obama is a president who's black.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to, Obama has agendas that he has to serve his own as well. I think they let Obama do his thing as far as health care and all these other programs he's got. But they say, listen here, man, keep the oil going, keep the war, keep the military-industrial complex going. We don't care what else you do,
Well, I would say that those
yeah.
in his cabinet, I'm sorry to interrupt, I apologize. I would say those who are surrounded by Obama, whose agenda was always to gain more and more and more and more, are more so pushing him to do these things. I don't think that he actually wants to do them.
Mm-hmm.
However, he's in that position. And
mm-hmm.
he has a cabinet who is around him and saying, this is what you will do. Now, we'll give you A, B, and C, but you will go over here and you will do this.
Yeah.
Because
this
is what we want.
And this is, here's the funny thing. And it's funny you say that. All these people have been criticizing him, whether Farrakhan or Cornel West or Tabitha Smiley, I don't think they were doing, I don't see most of them doing any differently.
Hmm.
Under
well,
the same
if I was
circumstances.
In the position, I would quit.
Yeah, you probably would have to. If,
yeah.
if at all that, because that's a lot of pressure. That's the thing. All these people, all these people becoming parking lot militants. They have, I'd have done this, I'd have done that, blah 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 blah. You don't know what you would have done because we have never been that powerful.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's the bottom line.
The last couple of people that have tried to do something got assassinated.
Yeah,
exactly.
I would have never went against Libya because that was nothing. That was for the benefit of France more so, and Britain to a lesser extent. In Germany, it's a lot of things that's going on, and people should keep their eyes open, especially with the EU and the Euro.
Mm-hmm.
They're scared to death that Germany is going to, go her separate way, which I would like to see Germany do. I would like to see Germany join up with the Brits, join up with Russia. I mean, you got to have a balance there. You just can't. I don't want to see any Americans get hurt, but the present U.S. method of doing things, I would like to see that myself come to the end. It's just totally wrong.
Yeah, let's go back to the phone lines. Area code 626-488. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
This is Covina. I had to call in on my phone. My Skype was tripping. I just wanted to add to what you guys were saying on the Arab Spring that I want to take a little somewhat of a disagreement. I don't totally disagree, but I just think that when you look at the Middle East in general,
mm-hmm.
you have to look at what's going on in the Middle East first, of what it has to do with Israeli interest first. Second interest is the oil industry, and the third industry is the war industry. And I think that in some parts of the Arab Spring, like Egypt and Yemen, where it originally started,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that the U.S. had a particular interest to try to get unrest over there. I think in Egypt and Assyria, yes. So I don't think you can blanketly look at it as all, it was all to serve the interests of the U.S., because I think that, with Egypt was already a puppet state, Yemen is already a puppet state of the white supremacists. So they wouldn't overthrow their already puppet state, and I think a lot of the white supremacists on the talking heads and the news are upset that Obama allowed the Arabs freedom. He's upset. They're upset that the Arabs are trying to taste freedom. And I think that some of the white supremacists had decided, well, since they're going to start to taste freedom in some places where we already have them in control, let's get them to try to taste freedom in places where we already have dictators that they want to overthrow anyway, as in Syria and Libya.
But is it necessary for all of these governments to collapse anyway in order to lead us into the New World Order?
We're already in the New World Order. The New World Order started in 1492.
But we got to have one government, so they can't be all these governments, though, right?
Well,
wait a minute.
The order of white supremacy is the government. All this other stuff is just states.
Well, I was going to, with what Convenient Man's saying, also, we're already under one world government. The people who actually are the ones that have control of this chessboard are the ones that are running the game. Believe it, okay? This is not where people think it's a democracy and stuff like that. No, they're already people who are in high positions. The ones that the real elite, they already are of the world order. They're the ones that make the decision on how things will go, what government will obtain what a government will lose what. And if this government doesn't go along with our ideas, how do we get rid of him and put somebody in his position? This is already in order.
But under the New World Order, I guess what I'm saying is there's going to be one currency, one policing, one religion. So if you got all these different governments to contend with, you got to collapse them in order to have uniformity, don't you?
Well, I mean, if you already have control over that government, I mean, you already have them believing in one religion. They're the religion.
Yeah, the
religion really means just simply belief in the firm belief in something. And this firm belief is that these elite men, so-called, whether they call the Bilderberg, Masons, I don't care what number of names they call themselves, they already are the ones that make the decision on how things are run.
Right. The thing is, the thing is, you don't have to come in with words like Illuminati and all this stuff. It's the white people. Not all white people, but the white established people, yeah. They're the ones that are running the world. And it has been running it since 1492.
I think that's what you're talking about, the 1%. You know, I hate to make everything black and white. It really is about the rich versus the poor, because what you're not looking at is when the 1% does what they do, they're not looking at color necessarily, because it's a certain group of white not included in that 1%.
Well, they do look at color. And
yep, they don't want you to look at color.
Yeah,
they look at color. They want you to think that it's colorless. They want you to think that it's just money. It's color.
But when
I can explain to you.
That's part of Obama's problem. He wants to have a colorblind. He wants to not look at color.
The common white person.
But when the 1% is doing their crushing, do you think they're picking and choosing which poor they're going to get? They're getting us all.
I can explain that. This is Blackman 37. I can explain that. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that they see this as a business.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Right. There are gains and losses in business. And, well, some people say that's, well, James, you're off. But it's gains and losses. So in order for you as a person of color to believe that it's happening to everybody, I have to make some of my own suffer so that you don't see what's really going on behind the closed door. So you'll see some white folks that are homeless. You will see some of them lose their jobs, lose their homes. You will see some of them get killed. You will see some of them, a very few of them, that will have AIDS, cancer. See, I can't kill you, people of color, unless I kill some of my own, not all, but some of them, to make it seem as though I'm killing everybody. See, that makes you not think that the whole game is actually to kill you. Like I said, it's a chessboard.
See,
they
I
know
totally disagree, but we're going to move on, but I'm going to make this comment, we're going to move on. I think when you start talking about eliminating 6 billion people, you're not just talking about black folks. Trust me, because it ain't 6 billion of us here. We only make up
13%
of the population.
I said that you have to kill.
That was Kissinger's plan to get down to about 2 billion people on Earth. But what the general, let me explain a little bit more. I know you want to move on, but the common white person don't bother us. But here's the point. The common white person look at Arabs in a negative way because they've been conditioned to look at them that way. So for their government, for the U.S. government to go over and bomb Arabs, they pro that, all right? Whereas, you know, ourselves, black people, we think that's horrible what they're doing. If they were to bomb Nigeria tomorrow, the common white person would look at that, this is going to help me in some way, shape, or fashion.
Exactly.
So that's how that works, I think.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay. If you just tuned in, you've come to Interstate tonight for the topic, the top stories of 2011. We're talking about murder trials, earthquakes or tsunamis, uprisings, withdrawals, occupations, and scandals involving pedophiles. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening in via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390. And again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open tonight. So if you have a question or a comment, you can post it up in chat, in bold, and I'll try to get it to the panel by the end of the hour. Okay, y'all, we're down to our last 45 minutes of the show. Let's talk about Casey Anthony. She was found not guilty of killing her daughter, Kaylee. This was the trial probably of the century. It probably has not, there has not probably been another trial that's generated as much press as this. Why do you think everybody was so fascinated by this particular trial? Anybody, jump in.
Well, I mean, you're talking about a child and a mother.
A child and a mother, okay.
You know, you don't usually hear too many cases where the mother kills their children. There are cases out there, but you don't hear too many like this.
Okay, and who did it?
The mother did it, and she killed it, and she appeared to have no conscience of it.
She was so nonchalant about it.
With herself and her pleasure, she wanted to party and do what she wanted to do. And even told the police for a couple of weeks, hey, I'm still talking to Kaylee. Matter of fact, I talked to her on the phone yesterday. Things like this. So she helped cover it up.
I hate pulling the race card, y'all. But if this had been a black woman who told the police,
oh, she'd have been gone.
Waited 30 days before I let y'all know that my child was missing. Where would she be today?
Well, she'd be in jail. But I wouldn't say that's the race card. I mean, that term needs to be thrown out too. But that's another thing black folks need to stop saying. But she would be in jail, and we all know this.
But I don't
it's not a secret.
Who dropped the ball here? I mean, how is it that we know she waited 30 days before she told the police that the child – well, actually, she was still lying at the 30-day point about where the child was. She was still saying Zanny the Nanny had her, and I talked to the Zanny the Nanny this morning, all kind of nonsense like that. Why do you think the Orlando Police Department let this girl go on and on with – what they knew were lies? Why do you think what happened? What went wrong?
You know what? You know, I mean, I saw the same thing with the Ramseys. It's happening all over the country. It's becoming harder and harder for police, white police especially, to arrest white people.
Damn.
Okay, and it's like they don't even know how to arrest white people anymore. They do, you know what I'm saying? You know, they take them at their word. They take them at face value. Did you do it? Nope. Now, leave me alone. I don't want to talk about it anymore. It's okay, but the person is still missing. So you have to, but they give them a lot of dignity and a lot of time before they actually make an official arrest. Months go by before they make there's an arrest made. So I came to the conclusion that it's getting harder and harder for white people to arrest white people. They just don't want to do this anymore. Okay, and now. And even now with white juries convicting white people, you know, that jury dropped the ball also. They're the ones who dropped the ball in that case, okay?
So you think it was the jury. So it wasn't the prosecution and it wasn't the defense, it was the jury.
Well, they had the final decision laid with the jury.
Okay. So the prosecution did not make the case, though, because they still left a reasonable doubt, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Johnny Cochran.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm thinking, like, when they see a face of a pretty white woman, they can't believe that their pretty white woman is guilty.
Mm.
She would have been a fat, ugly woman. I think they would have convicted, because your visual kind of makes up your mind sometimes.
Wow. Mm. So Johnny Cochran said the color of justice is green. To my knowledge,
Anthony
doesn't have any money. So why did she get off?
Yeah, look, but see, look at the same thing with all these white teachers that molest their kids. They're just students, mm-hmm. right? So a lot of them get off, or they get a slap on the wrist. I think a lot of times they look at it as a pretty mm-hmm. white woman, and they just cannot convict a pretty white woman and send a pretty white woman to jail. They even see it that in one case that she was too pretty for jail.
Mm.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. I did hear that.
I did not hear that. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, okay, what do y'all think happened to Kaylee? I mean, I can't wrap my mind around how I think it happened and why they waited so long to tell the police. The parents had to know before the 30 days,
well,
all right? I mean, we're really not believing the parents either, are we?
Casey didn't reached a point where she felt that Kaylee was holding her back. Mm-hmm. Too much of a responsibility. She's stopping her from having too much fun.
Mm.
Okay? Therefore she had to go. Okay? That's what happened.
Well, how did she go? I mean, did she drown? What?
She went some ways. Somehow, some way she went. She was they put that duct tape. She was that duct tape. They had that chemical in her. What was that? Formaldehyde or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
You know. You know, she went very brutally.
Wow.
Okay. And after that, Kaylee just basically, okay, I'm going to go out now because I can go out and do my thing. And people will, whatever I tell people, they're going to buy it. Okay.
Hey, right. And let's not forget that pageant, what was that little girl that was in that beauty pageant years ago? She ended up dead, but she was in the basement of the house. They never convicted any of the parents.
Yep. Right.
So it's nothing new. This is nothing. They do this.
But I think what I'm seeing in Casey Anthony's case is I'm seeing too many copycats right after that. Too many little white kids are coming up missing all of a sudden, and they're basically giving the same story that Casey gave. I don't know what happened.
It's some black kids, too. Black kids missing, too, their parents.
Oh, yeah.
You might be right. Are people doing it for money? I mean, did they see Casey Anthony get away with it? And now people are talking about book deals and movie deals. And so, therefore, other people are saying, well, listen, let me start cashing in.
Could be.
Is that maybe what's going on?
No, I think what's going on is people see that as she didn't want to raise her kids. I don't want to raise mine either. You know? They don't see a book deal or anything. These people aren't literary people. You know, they're like, I'm tired of dealing with little whatever, and they got to go, you know, and that's all there is to it. And if Casey got away with it, then I can do it.
And I think really that's what's happening, unfortunately, is because the police made it look like such a, and I hate to say this about it wasn't the Orlando police that handled it, I forgot what the other department was, but it looked like such a Barney Fife type investigation that people are going, is it this easy to get away with murder? Is it this easy to get publicity and make a whole bunch of money? And I don't know, I could be wrong, I hope I am, but that's just my take on it. But we're going to move on because we're running out of time. Okay, let's talk about the U.S. Troops withdrawing out of Iraq. Big story, you know, we know that Bush stood on that boat and said, mission accomplished. What was that, tarmac? And said, mission accomplished several years ago. But it looks like the final troops have withdrawn out of Iraq. What is that about? Why now? Iraq is not any better off than they were.
Because they ain't got no money.
Well, no more money, but I would say three things. Number one, as far as my understanding, they built a base over there. Number two, they either going to go into Iran, or number three, it's going to become a police state in the United States.
Ooh.
So that's the three ways I look at it.
Wow.
And, you know, they stand in Afghanistan for heroin, for poppies. So that's one of the reasons why we're in Afghanistan.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You know,
I'm thinking that it was a campaign promise that Obama said he was going to get the troops out before the end of the first term, and it's almost 2012, and he promised to get them out, fulfilled the kind of campaign promise to get them out. So they get him, bailing them out. I think whatever happens in Iraq is going to happen. And I think, we shouldn't be there to try to stop it because they're going to go the way that they want to go, and it shouldn't be us to determine which way they want to go.
You know, I did not know until recently that someone explained to me every time we invade somewhere, we stay and rebuild it. What sense does it make to go to war with somebody and then rebuild the country after you tear it up in the war?
If you drain in their resources, that's why.
Well, right. Plus, it's these corporations. Your Brown and Root, your Halliburton. You know, it's these corporations that this is a form of welfare for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and here's another point that I know you probably didn't. This is something you could talk about.
Mm-hmm.
FEMA has billed over 83,000 Katrina victims for debt for receiving aid or some kind of help during the hurricane.
Well, they only gave $2,000.
Well, yeah, but we give $4 billion a year to that Israel, that evil regime, another $3 billion to Egypt.
I think they're able to get away with that because folks aren't standing up for themselves. Because if they are willing to pay that money back, which I would not be willing to, and not say anything about the money that was given to the widows of 9/11, and don't get me wrong, I feel bad for the widows of 9/11. But I don't understand to this day why our government gave them $1 million each just for being the widows. I mean, if it was an act of terrorism, as everyone has said it was, then why do we pay them $1 million and have them sign a document that said that they will never sue the government? So, you know, I think the Katrina people need to speak up. That's all I can say on that. They need to speak up.
Well, I also want to say this real quick. As far as, I mean, you have to think also that when we went into Libya, oil companies had already been lining up to divide how much oil each people were going to get. Even China was sitting up there like, oh, we're going to get some money? Okay, go ahead and go invade them. We're going to get some oil? They had done this before they even invaded. They had already divided it up. They go into these countries to get their natural resources. Yes. Yes.
But, you know, looking at Iraq, though, wasn't worth it. I mean, we, you know, with the U.S. casualties and what it's cost us, there is no way in the world that anybody can say that war made sense.
It made billions of dollars for those who wanted it.
You got U.S. oil companies up in the northern regions that I think finally got back in there. But these oil companies go in there, your Shells, your Exxon, and so on and so on and so on. And now they have... the way they pay politicians back is through campaign contribution. Remember that the Supreme Court ruled on Citizens United saying that corporations don't have to reveal, you know, the money that they give to candidates like they used to. So all this is nothing but a big setup, and United States citizens is some of the dumbest people on earth.
You ain't lying.
It's continued to go on and go on and go on.
Okay, y'all, we got to move on. Capture and murder of Osama bin Laden. First of all, who all believes that it happened the day they said it did, the way they said that it is?
Well, bin Laden had been killed 10 times before that.
I know, really. How many times can you kill this man, for goodness sake?
But you know what? The American people, now when you call people dumb, American people were marching and they had a big party out in front of the White House the night that the story broke that bin Laden had been killed. I mean, a lot of people obviously believe that they captured him, they murdered him, and they buried him all within 24 hours. A lot of people believe that. And about a month later,
SEAL Team 6 get wiped out.
That's a good question. How did they get wiped out?
Well, see, let me add in here. See, I think that most American people don't believe in conspiracies like that. So like, I think there's a percentage of people that can tell you all about conspiracies and Illuminati and this, that, and the other. But if you look at the vast majority of people, black, white, Mexican, whatever, they don't believe in conspiracies. So if you just tell them what it is, they'll believe it. I think there's a percentage of people that believe that 9/11 was a fake, Elvis's was a fake, Obama's birth certificate was a fake. You can just tell some people anything was fake and they'll believe it. Other people, you need some proof.
Well, why is it that a man like bin Laden, who has been accused of the things that he's been accused of, why would we kill a man like that without interrogating him first?
Because of what he know. First place, the man was either dead. He was either dead 10 times or he's still alive.
This is true.
One of the two. But he wasn't killed that night.
Okay. And I agree with that. That rain
and the body mysteriously threw into the ocean. And then the assault team that was supposed to take part in that operation mysteriously died.
Without telling anybody what happened.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the best way to kill something? Destroy it.
How could we have? have gone into Pakistan, unbeknownst to the Pakistanis, and gone over there and carried out a mission like that the way that we say we did it?
Well, the thing is, you got to know the power of the United States government. They can go in Iran, they can go in, and they can go in Russia, they can go in South Korea, they can go anywhere and not be detected. They're there right now. So the thing that they can't go to Pakistan and do it, they're there right now anyway. So,
but you're flying in. It's not like you're going in.
They got inside help also, Carrie. You know, that's one of the supposedly one of the elite SEAL teams, SEAL Team 6.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're about one of the best, if not the best.
Or they were the
best. They was one of the best.
Definitely. And they were, they was one of the best. And they prepared for this for some time, for a year or two. You know, that's the thing. You know, here, after all the searching for Bin Laden, there he is. He's walking down the street in Pakistan, leaving a grocery store or whatever, and doing a scratch off number. You know, and he's one of the neighborhood guys. The United States is able to locate him. You know what I'm saying? And go to his crib. You know, he's got his 3 or 4 or 5 wives with him and a VCR or whatever, and take him out.
I just want to add, man, I'm one that don't believe in conspiracies. I don't believe in conspiracies at all. So, you know, I just think that when we hear that people on the internet or whatever keep talking these conspiracies, it gives, like, everybody on the internet a bad name. And I just want to be one to say I don't buy into any conspiracy whatsoever. And I think he was killed when they said he was killed.
Well, how about the Gulf of Tonkin that started the Vietnam War?
Well, like I said, I'm not going to believe in any conspiracies.
What about the report that they said he was dead in 2007?
Yeah, that's some idiot.
That came from the CIA.
In my opinion, he's an internet idiot.
People are always putting
out. How about the Israelis firing on the USS Liberty?
I'm just saying,
like I say, I don't believe in conspiracies, man. So I just want to take the one exception that Covina Man does not believe in conspiracies.
And I don't believe in the
Illuminati or nothing.
I agree with you. I don't believe in them. I just believe in the truth.
You know what? You have to be able to discern the difference between a conspiracy theory and the truth. And so is just true. In fact,
if there were no conspiracies, we're all jet black and we're still living in Africa, okay?
And Pat Hayden, was that the soldier, that football player that got killed and they said something else happened to him?
Oh, friendly fire.
Yeah, those things happen for real, man.
That was children.
Yep.
Okay, another thing. Remember the picture that they circulated the day after Osama bin Laden died? I think they put that picture out there, meaning our government, put that picture out there to see if the American public was going to bite it. And when people immediately said that was a fake, then our government came out and said, oh, well, that's a fake. You know, no, that's not the real thing. I think that picture was intended to be proof that they killed him.
You think
that's my belief. Anyway, nobody has to agree with me, but go back and look at that picture. I don't doubt it. Yeah, I think they absolutely did that. Okay, y'all, we're coming down to the last two. Occupy Wall Street. I was told about Occupy Wall Street about a week and a half before it happened, and I was told that it was organized by several groups. Those groups being the socialists, the Marxists, the communists, the anarchists, and the unions. Does anybody believe that?
It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is possible. You know, I could talk about my city, okay?
You're in New York.
Right. I'm in New York. I'm in the second largest city in New York.
Okay.
White people up here are always getting into some movement or another. All right. They'll even be down with us for a while, and then they move on to something else. You know, save the birds, save the tsetse fly, save the whale. Okay, so it's nothing unusual for them to occupy things. All right, it's their nature. All right, you know, white people on the left, especially, you know, that's their nature.
Mm-hmm.
Occupy Wall Street is way overdue. Should have been doing that a long time ago. All right. You know, it's you know, might be a good idea and everything, but it could be more effective if African Americans were in there. But you know, we got other stuff. We're trying to keep the police from occupying us.
Now, you know what I was told.
We don't want to embarrass Obama.
That one almost flew by me, and I got it. You know what I was told? That African Americans were intentionally left out because they felt that we were going to be down there stealing big screen TVs while other people were marching for the causes. That's what I was told.
Now, blacks wouldn't get involved with because they didn't want to embarrass Obama.
Yep. That's a huge reason.
Okay. I think I really believe the first reason. I think that most black people, you know, who may would, you know, have the time to go down there and get involved are probably saying, I got tickets and I'm not going down there, and they start messing with me and I end up in jail over my tickets. So I'd rather just watch it on TV. That's what I think.
Well, yeah, but I heard from some brothers in New York that some blacks were kicked out.
Oh.
That's what I was told.
Never heard
that's
that.
Exactly what I was told. They knew some people that went down there to protest with them, and they were kicked out.
So you mean they'll let the homeless people join in and give them 3 square meals a day, but the black people can't come?
All I know is what the gentleman told me. All I know is that this is what they told me had happened.
That's my first time hearing that.
That is my first time. Too. So why is it that they're down there with no clear vision and no clear mission? That seems almost an impossibility to me, that you could have a protest rally that grows to that size, but there's no clear leader or no clear mission.
I think right now you're hinting around it because it was white folks. It wasn't black folks. I think black folks show up, they want to talk about something, try to fix something, or at least have a mission. They're going to say something.
Mm-hmm.
And white folks, they're just cool with just that's what they call it, occupy. You just sitting around doing nothing, smoking weed, getting high. It's a bunch of nothing. That's white folks. White folks, mm-hmm. when they get angry, they just be stupid. That's what they mm-hmm. do best.
Well, see, I think this is the scary part
about
that.
Trying to solve something. They were trying some civil rights, some voting, or whatever it is they're going to protest. They're going to protest something. They're putting their neck on the line, trying to achieve something. White folks just, because they content. If America had a smaller unemployment, then people would be happy and they'd just be right back into the white conspiracy thing or white thing, whatever. They'd be doing their thing. Black folks, they know that even if the country was better off, that we still would be on the bottom. So it's a different fight for them.
Well, you know what I think there's two groups of people down there. The truth, you know, I don't know if the masses have figured it out yet. I think there's people down there who have legitimate causes, and I think there's other people down there that are down there to start a revolution. So I think, unfortunately, the people that are down there for legitimate causes haven't figured out that the other group is not working for the
white folks aren't for no revolution. White folks for getting high, being gay, or doing some other
technicality
or something. Don't believe that.
Put disclaimers out there and do not say that, Mr. Covina, man. You know that's
when you see white folks arguing on it, what do they want? Gay rights, feminism, or something? No, they're not really arguing for nothing productive. They're not trying to help nobody up, you know, you and me. They're trying to help the poor or something, or trying to help people with freedom. They're talking about stuff, about gay stuff. Or drugs, or legalizing pot. That's what white folks do. They don't talk about nothing serious.
Please
really,
give them
really,
your name and social security
really,
number so when they get ready to sue somebody, they sue you.
They're protesting. What they're essentially doing, they're protesting against their parents.
They're protesting against what?
They're protesting. These are college students protesting against their corporate parents.
Oh, okay.
So they're not going to really, it's not going to be no hardcore. Type thing going on. You know, this ain't no hardcore. This ain't, don't compare this to civil rights. I heard some people compare this to civil rights. No, civil rights changed the world.
Okay.
You know,
okay, y'all, top story of 2011, in my opinion, is the Penn State scandal involving Jerry Sandusky. Okay, let's start. Where do you begin? First of all, there's so many people that have to have knowledge that it just makes me sick. Let's begin the white. The wife had to know. I'm sorry now. You know what? I just don't believe you can be married to a sicko like that for that many years and you not know you're married to a sicko. That's my belief.
Yep.
Does anybody agree with me
agree.
That the wife had to know?
I don't agree. Yeah.
Yes. His wife knew. For Syracuse.
And Penn State.
It is Penn State, but I'm talking about it's a comparison because in Syracuse you have a telephone conversation,
a tape conversation.
Where the wife did admit she knew.
That's
okay?
True.
Okay, and I don't think it's any different with Paterno. There's a guy I think I copied and pasted the article, and he wrote a very good article dealing with the Paterno family. He said you're ignoring the Paterno family. He said Italian family. It's an organized crime family from way back, and they're very big in New Jersey. And you have the situation where, in the beginning, here's a guy. He's the defensive coordinator. He's longstanding. Why isn't he in the NFL? This is one of the top defensive. Penn State is known as linebacker U. You know what I'm saying? You watch college football as I have over the years. You know, their thing is it's defense. Fine, just retired, but he still has access to the facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So that when he was discovered doing these things, this one kid, this red-headed kid, goes up to the Paterno.
Mm-hmm.
Then he tells the one of the presidents, whatever. And
are you
say,
talking
yeah.
about McQuarrie, the
yeah,
now
McQuarrie.
Coach?
Yeah, McQuarrie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, but he doesn't go to police, and none of these other guys go to the authorities either. That's what they should have did. Now, also, who else dropped the ball? There's the
administration at Penn State.
Not just administration. A DA knew about this.
That guy came up missing. The body has never been found. That's Greer.
Body's never been found. This
the
guy.
DA?
Yeah, the first DA that was on it.
Yeah,
undercover man, there's another conspiracy.
This guy, he died right around the same time they found a car, they found a laptop is broken.
Yeah.
His body has never been recovered, right?
No.
His wife was known to be, his wife at the time was an employee of Penn State. Okay? So it's a conflict of interest for him to even be working on that case.
Oh, I
remember,
see.
They have never found Jimmy Hoffa neither.
Right.
Because he's probably buried in cement somewhere. But see, this football program was bringing in, what they say, $70 million a year. So a lot of people are eating off this football program.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? I've been to Penn State. I've driven flatbed over there just to help them, you know, because I deliver prefab. You know, loads over there, and I've driven past the stadium and everything, and I've seen Paterno statue right there in front of the stadium. It's a huge complex. Penn State is very huge, okay. And so what? On one hand, I feel that what they should have done was shut down that program.
Yes.
No football. No more football. Even though they would have torn those kids would have torn the school down.
Yes.
Shut down the football program. Teach those kids that human life is more important than anything.
Now, I'm hearing, speaking of human life, that a lot of these victims were young black boys.
That's what I can't understand. If Sharpton wasn't working for Obama, he probably would be on that. Another key thing that should be done is Chesky and Paterno both should lose their pensions.
I agree.
Chesky?
Sandusky, absolutely.
Why did they fire him?
Why did they allow him to retire out anyway, knowing what he'd done? This guy was on the radar for some 15 years. So why did law enforcement allow this guy to get away so long?
Because they all know each other, as far as my understanding. Yep. Don't they all know each other? Don't they all run like in the same circle?
Yeah.
That's all. That whole district is known as State College Park. That's the whole city. That's the whole county.
Every pedophile seems to set up a foundation to, you know, stalk his victims or be able to pull his victims from. You know,
that's a rhetorical question.
Organization that Jerry Sandusky founded. These all are organizations where they find a way to get kids involved, and then those are how they choose their victims.
Because pedophiles target institutions that are built on trust.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Okay?
And that's why he never went to the NFL.
Yeah.
It'd be a lot harder boogering a 275-pound linebacker than a 10-year-old child.
That's right.
Exactly.
But obviously he had a fetish for young children, because these kids were all, like, really young, from what I understand. You know,
yeah.
This guy was so sick that one of the kids, he started volunteering at the kids' school and became, like, an assistant coach or something, volunteer coach. And he was, like, they said he was very clingy to the child. So obviously Sandusky has some mental issues involved with this whole thing, too. But I'm just trying to figure out why did Penn State allow him to continue to volunteer there, knowing what was going on after he retired? Why did they do that?
Yeah.
It really just
hit the fan, you know. It came to light, and then that's when people try to run for cover, try to double back and try to say, "Oh, they should have did this, that, and the other." I think initially they just trying to cover it up, see if we can put the hush on it, cover it up, because these victims ain't really human anyway. They're black kids, and these, you know, ain't got no daddies, so you know, they don't want to care. Right, so they just sweep it under the rug, and it's like, well, we don't want to tarnish the institution, tarnish all this stuff, tarnish white people, whatever,
mm-hmm.
you know. So they'll just try to sweep it under the rug, and it's just like, for some reason, it wasn't able to be swept under the rug long enough, or 17 years or something, however long you've been doing this? So, you know.
Or like the Health and Human Service says, mm-hmm. you know, kids are sexual.
Ooh.
Exactly.
How many children was involved in them 15 years or so?
We'll never know, because all of them are never going to come forward, because men are so prideful that they don't want people to know that they've been molested by another man. So we may never know.
Well, 10 have come forward. One of them, his grandkid.
His grandchild?
One of them is his grandchild.
Oh, man.
And that should be common knowledge. Media's not really going into detail on that.
Of course they wouldn't.
And his wife is standing up for him, saying that, you know, he didn't do that, you know.
Something's wrong with her, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think lifestyle and not wanting to give it up is part of it. But, you know, there's a place in hell for people like that, because I can't not imagine. One of the victims said that Sandusky always, you know, had them come and spend the night there, but he had made a room in the basement, a bedroom in the basement, and he would feed them all their meals there and everything, and he never allowed them pretty much to come up out of the basement. And he said that some of the times during these raids, he would be screaming, and Sandusky's wife would be upstairs. So
mm-hmm.
that's some pretty sick stuff.
She probably was upstairs getting off on the screams.
Ooh-wee. Ouch. Ouch.
Just imagine how many Sanduskys it was during slave period, when they had untethered access to all the black booty they wanted.
Yeah.
Now, didn't call it rape back then, unfortunately. You know, it just, you know, was a part of life.
Well, that's why I come out like Iran. If this was Iran, he would have been gone 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
Oh, this is true. Yo, let's talk about the people who died, the famous people who died in 2011. A lot of good people, a lot of really, like, people that we've been knowing for years and years died. What about Andy Rooney? Andy Rooney died in 92. He was one of the people that we saw in 60 Minutes every week.
Mm-hmm.
Was on
yep.
there from 1978 to 2011. And when 60 Minutes basically gave him the boot, his last appearance was like in October, and he died a month later. Did he die of a broken heart? Is that what it was?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Hey, I think he thought that, you know, 60 Minutes would never do him like that, but the times had changed, and I guess they decided Andy Rooney didn't fit into the program anymore, so they let him go, and like I said, a month later, he died.
Neither does a permanent black journalist. Anyway, moving on.
Okay, we're going to talk about Betty Ford. Betty Ford was the former First Lady of the United States from 1974 to 1977. She was the wife of Gerald Ford, our 38th.
Mm-hmm.
She died at 93. She was most famous for the Betty Ford Clinic. You know, kind of quietly just left here, you know, but she was always graceful, elegant, you know.
She wasn't when she was getting drunk.
Oh, wow.
When she was
First Lady, we never heard anything.
Jerry
about
said,
her,
"Put that
we?
Down and no tell what kind of words, what kind of name she was calling them." You know, but
we didn't hear about the fact that she had an alcohol problem until she left the White House, right? They kind of kept it hush hush.
Yep. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think it was hush hush while she was there, but she later, you know, admitted her alcoholism. She admitted the fact that she had an alcohol problem, and she founded the Betty Ford Clinic, which I think was a great accomplishment for a first lady. Also, y'all, you know what? Remember Matt Dillon, Marshal of Gunsmoke,
James Arness.
He died at 88.
Wow.
Who didn't grow up with you know, Gunsmoke?
Was he in Roots? He was in Roots, right?
The Rifleman was in Roots. I don't remember.
That's right.
Yeah,
it all looked like to me, man. It all looked like.
James Arness would have been saving us if he was.
See, y'all gonna have to stop because you know what? Y'all gonna everything is not black and white. Everything does not break down to black and white.
That
I don't know how you could be saying black man do that. How do y'all make everything black and white?
Like, oh my God.
Everything in the world is not black and white.
Matt Dillon, if he was in Roots, he'd have saved the whole day. He'd have saved the day.
Let's move on. Nate Dogg. Remember Nate Dogg? He started out with Dogg and Warren G. He was a rapper with Death Row Records. He died at 41 this year, y'all.
Wasn't he Snoop's brother or half-brother or something like that?
He was who?
Was he Snoop's brother or half-brother?
You know what? It may have been. I did not find that in the research. I think he started out singing in a church in Mississippi, believe it or not, with Snoop Dogg and Warren G. But I don't know if they were actually brothers or not. I did not find that in the research.
Okay.
Anybody remember Dan Rosen? Young guy, 33. He was in that Indy 500 race. He was a champion, and then he died after a crash. Remember him?
I remember the crash. I don't remember. I really don't remember him well. He only won that one year.
He was just 33.
Yeah, I don't follow NASCAR.
Yeah. Nope. He what?
I don't follow NASCAR. I don't know.
He was a NASCAR racer. Well, I tell you one you'll remember or know. Joe Frazier. Everybody knows Joe Frazier.
Yeah.
Didn't he beat Ali at one time? Didn't he beat Ali in 1971?
The first fight.
Known as Smoking Joe. He died in 67. I think he was battling cancer.
That's too bad. Yeah, that was sad.
Yeah, it was sad. And I think he died of cancer. Everybody remembers Elizabeth Taylor, beautiful Elizabeth Taylor. She died at 79.
Cleopatra died. Boo-hoo. Next.
She was an actress, and she also had a fragrance called White Diamonds. Smelled very good. That was Elizabeth Taylor, y'all. Remember Steve Jobs? Businessman and inventor. He died of cancer, I think, this year. He was 56. You know, there was an interesting. I think they're writing a book about him, a biography about him, and they said that he was a very complicated man. I mean, he was brilliant as a businessman, but they said, you know, kind of grouchy, hard to get along with. So maybe sometimes brilliant.
Cold.
You know, I don't know.
Well, you know, he got outed over the slave factories in China, I think it was. The people who make those parts for his computers, either Japan or China or somewhere. But some of those people have in his plant have committed suicide.
Really?
Okay. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And here's the thing. After that, he made all the people working at that plant sign a no suicide pact, just to show you how empathetic he was to their plight. You know,
really?
I think they only earned like $5 a week.
No, so like slave labor.
Yeah. Oh, literally slave.
Pretty much.
Oh yeah, they had to stand up all day, sometimes work a double. You know.
Wow. Next person, Heavy D. Everybody remembers Heavy D, the rapper, Jamaican born.
Yes.
Died at 44.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I think they say it was like an embolism or something like that he died of.
Had some bad cough,
and he just seen a doctor about the cough. And then he had just recently performed for like Michael Jackson or something, didn't he, before he died?
I think they said that their flight was the thing that was a cause his blood clot in his leg. He had a long flight, and it messed up his circulation.
I think you're exactly right. I think that is exactly what they said. Amy Winehouse. Now, that one took me by surprise. You know, I did not expect somebody so young to be struggling and battling with drugs and then die of an alcohol overdose.
Mm-hmm.
That was just weird. She was an English-born singer-songwriter, struggled with drug addiction for a long time. She was a 5-time Grammy winner. And you remember her for her song Rehab. Remember that song? That to me was like a really rebellious song. I think she said something like, "I don't care what my daddy says, I'm not going to rehab. No, no, no." Remember that song?
Yeah, that was her first song.
That was the first song.
That was her first hit.
He was 28. I don't know. It just seems. I remember she did a remix or something. I thought it was. I don't know. I didn't know that was her first song. Jay-Z mixed it with her, or did a remix with her, or did the song with her. And he said something in there that she was gonna die like Anna Nicole, and it was almost prophetic. The bars that he said in there about her and how true they became. You know, seeing how she ended. But
yeah, you can kind of see her physical demise, like any like drug addict. She was a. Kind of a cute, chubby white girl at one time, and she got real, real skinny and, you know, like a drug addict, before and after pictures.
Mm-hmm.
She could sing,
I think they said she was trying
to
clean herself up, though, which was the strangest thing, that she was really, I don't think she completely kicked it, but she was trying to kick the drug habit, but then, for some reason, the alcohol killed her, so really, really strange thing. Did I miss any stories in 2011, y'all? If I missed some,
Patrice,
you know, we got a few minutes. What do y'all
think? You forgot to mention comedian Patrice O'Neal.
You didn't mention Gil
Scott
Heron.
Who?
Gil Scott Heron.
Gil Scott.
Oh, he's like
the singer.
Yeah. The revolution will not be televised.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh,
yeah.
And Ash O'Neal, the comedian. You forgot about him.
Who?
He just died.
Which one?
Patrice O'Neal.
Patrice O'Neal?
Yeah.
Well, there were some other people. J.D. Spradlin, he was a veteran character actor. He played in The Godfather 2. Remember, he was a 90-year-old that played the corrupt senator. Well, he wasn't 90 years old in the movie, but he died at 90. But he played that corrupt senator, remember? And I think he woke up and a horse was in his bed.
Oh, yeah.
Then he died.
He
was 90.
That was The Godfather, wasn't it?
That was The Godfather 2.
No, that was Godfather 1.
My research is Godfather 2, but okay, y'all. Was that Godfather 1?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. When the horse head was in the, the horse's head was in the bed, that was the first one.
I was in the theater when that came out. I watched that over it more than once.
I watched it 100 times. I can't remember.
I was 14, okay.
Which one was the corrupt senator in? Was that 1 or 2?
2. The corrupt senator was in the 2.
Okay, so that made
the
first
one. He was the movie producer.
He was the movie producer, yes, right. And he was telling him, he said, "Your boy don't have any talent, I'm not putting them in there," which he didn't have any.
Exactly.
Hardhead, some guys I know.
As black men watch that show, I mean, all you have to do is ask us what that is.
Every time it comes on, I watch it. So listen, not just black men. And then another person died this year, Michael Doe. Remember Alfred the Butler in Batman? Remember the Butler?
The original Alfred?
Yeah. He died in 94.
Which Alfred?
I love Batman too, so y'all, those were some good ones. So y'all, those were the top stories of 2011. And
don't
like
forget,
I said, there were many. And I hope I did.
Brett Shuttlesworth.
Huh?
Brett Shuttlesworth. Who was with Martin Luther King? Civil rights.
I mean, repeat that again.
Brett Shuttlesworth.
Yes. Okay, go ahead, tell him quickly.
Yeah, he died right after, about a day or two after Steve Jobs, and he was one of the organizers of the old freedom marches, whatever, back in I think it was Mississippi or whatever the case may be. But he was a close confidant of Martin Luther King, very big on voter rights, tried to get his daughters into college, got arrested for that, you know, but a long time freedom fighter.
Really?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Well, listen, y'all, that has to be the final word. I'd like to say thank y'all so much for being here with me tonight, Black Man and Chris Stevenson. Also, a reminder, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage, the host, or the advertisers, especially the comments made by Kavina Man tonight. Also, a reminder, tomorrow night, join me again. We're doing shows back-to-back this week. Tonight's going to be our final show. It's going to be from 8 to 10 tomorrow night. We're going to be talking about Is the Church Under Attack with a group out of Memphis, doing some boycotting until they see Bishop Eddie Long step down. They're going to be going to New Orleans, I mean, not New Orleans, Atlanta every first, I think, Sunday, and they march until he steps out.
I thought he already stepped down.
He already stepped down.
No, no, no. He took some time off. He took a hiatus, but he'll be back.
Oh.
Thank you, audience, for listening. Listen, thank you all so much. You all have been with me throughout 2011. It's been an awesome ride, and thank you all so much for taking that ride with me. My wish for all of you all, if you don't tune in tomorrow night, is that you have a happy and safe New Year's Eve, and if not tomorrow night, I'll see you in 2012. Be safe out there tomorrow night. Drive safely, carefully. And Happy New Year to everybody. This is Carrie Hunt signing off. See you tomorrow night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You still there, Carrie?
Sir, I need to park here.